Hey everybody, welcome back to Quartercast. I'm here with Hex Girlfriends. How is everyone?
Yay! Good.
Nervous. So excited. I'm scared. Don't be nervous. No need to be scared.
This is our first interview.
Oh, is it really?
Real.
Once we did one on the radio, it was really short. Yeah, it was really short.
We're gonna pick your brains on this one. So I hope you're ready. Beyond the sound bites. Let's go around and can you say your name and what you play so everyone kind of recognizes your voice? We'll start with you, Sandra.
Cool. I'm Sandra. I sing and play the synthesizer.
I'm Hannah, and I sing. And I don't play guitar anymore. I don't want to.
I'm Kevin, and I play the bass.
Nice. We were talking a little bit before we started recording. I figured a good place to start with was how you guys became a band. Like you were saying, this is your first interview. There's not a whole lot out there about you guys. So let's just take it from the beginning. How did you guys meet up, and when did you start playing music and that stuff?
Well, me and Hannah met at Towson. We were in a class called Music for the Stage, and we got assigned to perform an opera scene together. And, Hannah was a vocalist and I was a piano major, and we had to sing, and I was like, I can't sing these high notes. And Hannah was like, yes, you can. And then Hannah was like, what's the rhythm? And I was like, this is what it is.
We had different strengths.
Yeah, exactly. And we had like way too much fun and didn't rehearse. Like,
yeah,
really
we'd always just
all.
End up talking a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we'd be like, oh shit, we need to practice like the dance that we have to do while singing opera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was from Hansel and Gretel, and I was Hansel and Hannah was Gretel. And people told us afterwards, they were like, wow, the chemistry, and like, what's so funny? Like, and they're like, it wasn't supposed to really be that funny.
So thank you and fuck you at the same time.
I mean, it was nice. And then we were both like dating people at the time, or like I would talk about my boyfriend and then Hannah would be like, And then, like, she would talk about her girlfriend, and I'd be like, And we were both kind of like, those sound not good.
Yeah, we kind of, like, stuck together because I think we were both in relationships that we kind of, like, wanted to get out of. Because, like, we didn't like the person at the time, but, like,
because
like, we felt like we hadn't, like, completed our, like, adventurous, like, part of our life. Like, we wanted to, like...
We felt married, and we, you know, like...
And you're still in college at the time.
And we were like, but they're my true love for all of destiny. And then, that's not the case at all. Wow. And we needed to get out and be free. And then, and write songs.
Yeah.
Oh, so bonding over those situations.
Yeah, they were unsaid. It was like we almost just knew.
Huh. Yeah. And then over the next year, we helped each other, like, break up with the other people we were with. In a way, or help each other with the breakups and the fallout from said breakups. Yeah. And
we weren't, like, coaching each other.
It was, like, at, like, 3 months after one of us would break up with the person and be like, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, you made the right choice.
So you offered support.
Yeah, we just, like, helped each other through all that shit. And then, I don't know. And then I guess the band got formed because then we were really pissed about a lot of shit that happened to us, like, after that.
Yeah.
I figured out that the person that I was with was, like, very emotionally abusive, and Hannah helped me, like, kind of, like, see that. And we all, like, I don't know, we kind of, like, had all this shit go down, and then we helped each other, like, figure it all out.
Yeah. And like, we were in each other's lives for not so much with your relationship, but at least in my... When, like, my abusive situations happened, you were, like, there in the bed. You know what I mean?
Sometimes,
like,
I was there in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was not a good time.
Yeah. So, like, we kind of... And, like, I knew your ex-boyfriend, so we kind of were able to support each other by, like...
By being like, no, that really happened.
Yeah.
And, like,
which is a hard time.
You know, offering that perspective. Yeah. Well, because, obviously, like, when I listen to lyrics of your songs, that makes a lot of sense. That's what brought you guys together. Because I hear a lot of that in the songs, but just can you elaborate on how that dynamic informed the songs you were writing at the beginning?
Well, like, New Strategy was a song that Hannah wrote about, like, some of my exes, And then also the name Hex Girlfriends. I kind of like, Hannah said this about it, where she was like, we're like the evil exes. Because like, you get out of...
We felt. We were
We felt like we were like terrible. Because like, we had gotten out.
Yeah, like we were the ones who didn't believe in true love and like, you get to be free. You know?
Yeah, like we, and, like, I don't know. And it was also like that, and plus like, I don't know, almost every song I've ever written has either like the song itself is revenge or the song is about revenge. And like, yeah, it just kind of made sense.
Oh, how long ago are we talking? When did you guys start?
We didn't, me and Hannah were talking about the band for like, at least like 2 full years before we ever like played any music. So we were talking about it in like 2015.
And then the summer of 2016 was after we lived together that year and all the shit had gone down. And like, and then that summer.
Maybe the summer of 2015 is when we talked about it. And the next summer we were like,
the next March. I feel like it was winter when Bad Dreams happened.
Oh, yeah, it was in the winter. We started recording stuff.
Like winter of like 2016, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And then like, and then we basically like, start like I like to make myself do stuff by like telling people I'm gonna do it.
Oh, so yeah, that's like a good telling tactic.
People, and then we told Kevin, and we like barely knew Kevin, and he was really drunk one night, and then he came back to my house, and then like we had just been talking about like how we were gonna like start a band, and he just like walked into my house and just like picked up the bass and was like, "Pardon me, like, didn't say a word."
Yeah,
and I was like, he's in the band. Like, we didn't have each other.
He was doing this, like, crazy, like, surf rock, like, weird thing.
Like, I didn't know Kevin played an instrument.
Yeah, like, ripping it. Just, like, talking to us in, like, the living room.
Was that your plan, Kevin? To just go in there and be like, I'm going to show them. I'm not even going to.
You looked very determined.
I didn't know that you were going to have other people in the band. I thought it was just going to be you and Hannah.
Yeah, that was
like,
the plan.
It was never my intention to, like, be in the band with the two of you.
Yeah.
But then you asked me to.
Sure.
Because I was going to play bass, and I don't, because I don't know how to play bass. And then we were like, why not?
We were because we both like to write really hard stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we were writing stuff that we couldn't play.
Yeah.
So you need someone who can just show up and get on the bass. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now wait, before I forget, so this class you guys were taking, was it like a one-off musical, what'd you say, musical theater?
Music for the stage.
Music for the stage.
We're both music majors.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. So did you guys finish with the music major, or?
I did not.
Okay.
Yeah, I decided
I wanted to devote my life to other things. Yeah. And the opera wasn't my fight. It's a noble fight, maybe.
It can be a struggle. But what was it that drove you guys to pursue that academically? Because no, that's not true. I was about to say, I don't think I've interviewed someone who went to school for music. That's not entirely true. I haven't interviewed many people who went to school for music. So what drove you to that academically?
Well, for me, like, I don't know. I think I kind of might be a little obsessive, and I try not to play music or do stuff involving music, and I can't not. But I don't know. I was practicing piano, like, 5 hours a day. All through high school, and I don't know, I decided to do it when I was like 11, so I don't remember. It wasn't a good idea necessarily. I decided to do it way too early and then just stuck with it stubbornly, even though I started to hate it. And then I don't know, I managed to get out of college with like minimal recitals and kind of turned it into a, like, I took a sociology minor and did an internship instead of a concert, and like tried to turn it into another major by the end of it. But no, I just like was obsessed with music theory as a kid, which is like a weird thing to be obsessed with. But
no, that's cool.
I like went to school on Saturdays for it, and you know, joined a chamber music group and was in like 4 bands, not the cool kind. But, you know, steel drum band.
Yeah, man, that's the cool kind.
All that shit forever.
Yeah.
Just my life. I don't know Hannah's reason.
Well, I got into music a lot later than Sandra. I was a very quiet kid. Kind of quiet, but,
What?
I didn't know that. I wasn't quiet, but
Virgo man.
I was really insecure. And I felt like a sidekick in my own life.
Oh my God, I felt like that before.
You know, like, I felt like... And then, so, when I started in tech, like, doing tech for shows in high school, and not being on stage. Like, the first time I, like, was involved with the theater department, I was in tech. And then somebody was like, you should just, like, try out for a play or something. And I, like... When I went on stage, I just kind of blacked out.
Yeah. To this day.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Yeah. And so that's how I started, like, and I would, like, sit, I would sit at home and, like, listen to Kate Nash and, like, learn the piano parts by ear. I was really obsessed with, like, that album. And so I was, like, doing it with that, and, like, I recorded a little video to, like, a friend far away, me playing piano and singing a song one time. Mm-hmm. But for me, my decision to go to college for music, I think that, like, singing was, like, so when I had a private teacher, she told me, she was like, look, like, not everyone could sing opera and you could do it. And it was kind of like, it made me feel, because I, so many other things, like, in trauma stuff was going on at the time, that I was, like, really not succeeding in a lot of areas of my life that I'd previously really been a good student, and I didn't understand why I suddenly felt like I was stupid and, like, I couldn't focus in school. And then so her, like, saying that, like, I could sing opera, I was like, that sounds good. Something I can be good at. Yeah. Something I have, like, the potential for that's special. And so, and I didn't, it was honestly, that was the only thing I had, and then I got a scholarship to study it. So that was what allowed me to do it.
Oh, well, that'll really, yeah, that's a good motivator for sure. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. And then, wait, so I'm sorry, I'm getting a little disjointed here, but so Kevin, joining the band, like, so this dynamic was very well established, it sounded like. How was it for you to, like, come into that? Like,
how was it, Kevin?
I mean, by the time I started playing music with you two, I had known you for, like, 6 months.
It was longer maybe, than that. It was like a year. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we were all friends before that.
But we weren't, like, friends.
We weren't, like, really, really close.
No. Once we shared Indian food. The
food that binds, for sure.
Yeah. But I had heard a couple of the earlier record, like, the demo recordings before I... like, formally agreed to join, I guess, and I always really liked all of it. And I don't know, it was really fun to be a part of a project that I probably wouldn't have, like, played this kind of music if I had, like, written music on my own, you know? Mm. And then becoming better friends with Hannah and Sandra was, like, just as fun as, like, playing the music and learning the music.
Aww.
That was so sweet. It is. Yeah. He's so nice all the time. That's why he's allowed. 100% nice.
100%. But yeah, that's sweet. So let's take a listen to some music. So you guys very recently put out Call Your Mom, right? That's the title. And so let's take a listen to I'm Calling CPS, and we'll I'm going to ask you some questions about that.
Okay, cool. Right. I was driving home from work when I checked my phone. I was spooked, babe. I went home alone. I'm a little different now, strong and blue. You should know I don't just bark, now I fight too. Oops, it looks like I forgot myself.
on the shelf. Let me explain the message I'm trying to send. Did you really think I'd let you go fuck with my friends? Did you really think I'd let you go fuck with my friends?
So that was I'm Calling CPS. That's a great song. Listening to it again, like it, I really get a huge La Tigre vibe from it. It's a lot of fun. So talk to me about writing that song. Who came up with the idea? Where'd the idea come from?
This is one of Hannah's songs.
Yeah, this is one of my songs. I mean, the idea from the song, oh my God. So I was... The summer after we lived together, I, like, had, like, a stint in sobriety and had, like, this very, like, great friend who, like, sort of, like, taught me what had happened to me the previous spring. Like, she sort of listened to what I was talking about and she was like, that was rape.
Oh, everyone needs a friend.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. And, like, she had me do all this work and, like, and so I became very, like, interested in, like sexual politics and like the dynamics of abusive relationships and like women's internalized misogyny and like submissive, like socially submissiveness and like,
hey, can you pull that away just a little bit? Yeah, there you go.
And so I I'm saying up so much.
No, that's fine.
I got this book called Why Does He Do That? By Lundy Bancroft.
Lundy!
And he's our main man. Mm-hmm. It's the best book of all time. And it's sort of like, it's great because like, you don't want to spend any more time like thinking about your abuser. But like, once you read that book and you understand what they're doing, then you don't have to think about like, why are they doing that anymore? Mm-hmm.
Like, and you don't have to like think it's like anything. Oh my God, he just lays it out like so scientifically. And then you're just like, oh, none of that shit's my fault. It's just like other people being dicks and then like me, like, I don't know, making excuses for them, basically.
Right. And so it allows you to stop thinking about it in that way. Because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, that's what was going on.
What was the biggest takeaway you got from that?
The book?
Yeah.
That some people want to control things. Some people want to control people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if they are, like, a sadist or something. If they are, like, impeding on, like, your rights... Because they're, like, even trying to control you out of, like, the goodness of their own heart. Like, it's still, like, they're trying to control you. No matter what they're thinking about why they're doing it, doesn't matter.
Mm. Okay, so then how did that feed into what
sense?
You're...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did that feed into what you're expressing in the song, then?
So, in the song, I actually had to deal with, like, a situation where... I felt like I needed to tell the authorities that my abuser worked with high school students. Because he was particularly interested in, like, age play. Yeesh. And he was, like, teaching high school students. and yeah.
And was like a rapist and terrible.
Yeah, and like did not respect people's boundaries, did not respect like safe words, like made himself seem like we didn't even have safe words, and I was like 21 and he was like 29. I don't know. I'm still like worried that he's gonna like listen to stuff or like that he's still like keeping tabs on me. But
can we say what like the recent victory?
Yeah. We can't talk about that.
Hannah totally got him banned from Moms. He came in and like pretended that he didn't know who she was or whatever after like staring at her for half an hour.
Oh, jeez.
It's a long story, but
yeah.
He's banned. But,
yeah, that was like the only shred of justice I've ever gotten.
You gotta take your victories where you can.
Yeah, I mean,
you get like, your organic coffee somewhere great. Else, justice, motherfucker.
Justice feels amazing. Like, justice feels really
well,
good.
Well, it's one of those things. It's very much like this book where, like, he stared at you for half an hour and, like, was being really creepy. And then you tell your manager. The manager is, like, tells him. And he's just like, I don't know anyone who worked here. And then you're just like, oh, he's fucking crazy. Mm. Like, this guy is, like... I don't know. And then you're still like, maybe he didn't recognize me? Like, maybe. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, he's crazy.
Yeah.
He will do whatever.
Like, maybe he will lie.
Avoid responsibility.
So much. Mm-hmm. But so I really felt like I needed to tell the authorities that he worked with kids. With the song, like, that's what I'm talking about when I'm like, I told them about you today, you know, is like, and then like, you know, I sort of played it out because like the actual, sometimes like our revenge songs are really revenge fantasies, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so unfortunately our government does not practice preventative child molestation. Like
unless he has already done it, they don't care.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless you literally know that he had had sex with a minor, they don't care.
Oh, but he was so careful. Like,
right.
That one girl was like 19.
Yeah, the girl he dated after me was 19, and he was 29.
Yeah. It's a big gap.
And like, so he was just trying to get as close to it as he could with it still being legal, mm-hmm. essentially. And, which is so gross. So gross. So that's what the song is about, like, that being, feeling compelled to, like, protect other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the like, why do you hate your mother
stuff?
Yeah,
what's that part? Like, can you get into that part?
I have ADHD and my brain just goes everywhere when I'm writing a song.
That's a legit point. It's a legit point for sure.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, that's just about how, like, because the first verse is kind of about a different boyfriend than the second verse. Was about like the creepy pedophile guy situation,
mm-hmm.
and then like the why do you hate your mother? I was actually thinking about your ex.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so true. No wonder I like that part.
So I was just like, I was angry and it was going everywhere. And like,
oh my god,
I was like a crazed witch, like just casting hexes. Like,
you were just like that guy
everywhere,
going down the whole list.
You got a fear of witch with ADHD.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's and like weird. That song felt like the ultimate. Like, it was just sort of like humiliating someone who had totally humiliated me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I was humiliating him by calling Child Protective Services. I did not even think about how he would feel.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you were just trying to protect.
That was not really about him. That was literally
people,
me.
Yeah,
that was me about, like, the kids. But when it comes to, like, being like, did you, you know, sort of laughing in their face and being like, oh, you think you could just come back and, you mm-hmm. know...
I mean, that does
that
happen.
I'm still oblivious.
Didn't we have a thing
cool?
where we're like, they always, like, try again.
My mom told me once that they always come back.
Mm. And they, for, like, in most cases,
they do.
They've, like, popped up again.
Yeah.
And then you're like...
And they think that you're still this, like... When you have your awakening...
You're still stupid.
They think you're still, like, this submissive mess that's, like, totally, like...
That wasn't my personality.
Up.
That was my socialization.
Yeah,
bitch.
That's what I mean. It's like, that's not who I was on the inside. And they show up and they're like, hey, want to give another try? And you're like... LOL.
It's like, no, I hate you.
And plus, like, I couldn't, all my friends know what you did now, so I could never get back together. Oh my god, yeah, my friends, they yell at me.
So now we can't tell my friends what you did. Yeah.
That's good. Wow. So yeah, that's definitely a lot that you're putting into that song. And musically, where did that come from? Like, how did you come up with the
themes? I was listening to Tigra. Yeah. Because that's like a rage. Decepticon is like a rage song.
Oh yeah.
Like mm-hmm. you just put it on and you're like, it's time to get mad, or mm-hmm. like just high energy. And then I was also listening to a lot of Salt and Peppa, just because they also sometimes have that angry energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. It's during the Jock Jams phase.
And so, like, I modeled, like, the rhyme scheme, like, after Salt and Peppa that was, like, stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. And then I used the bass from a similar bass line to Decepticon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so that was basically, that's musically, it was, those were the influences.
Yeah.
And,
gotcha.
You know, and also some Jock Jams. Jock Jams.
You know? Nice. I love
and
this.
And then
one.
You made a lot of harmonies.
I made the harmonies.
Yeah.
And like Hannah let me do the yelling part.
Yeah. Which is cool.
So is that usually how it works? You guys, like, someone has an idea and then, you know, everybody brings their own contributions, or
yeah. It's kinda like we'll come in with like most of it, or like I think, like, it's getting more and more collaborative as we do it.
Yeah.
Partially because, I don't know, I just feel, like, lazier now where I'm like, I can't think of the rest of the lyrics. Like, you did the rest of the lyrics.
Yeah, we almost always are on the same page. Like, we'll read one of our lyrics and we'll be like, oh, these are the themes.
Or it'll be like,
what you want to talk about.
Like, new strategy. You were like, I don't know how to end this song. And then I, you know, so I wrote the, like, bass part at the end or whatever.
Yeah.
The, like, instrumental part. And then Hannah wrote the beginning of, like, Moonstruck. Or something, just because I was like, I wrote this part and I put all my emotional energy into it and I can't fucking figure out how to start
this
song.
Yeah, and I just pulled up this one like creepy poem that was like in my phone.
Exactly. And so,
sang it.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll fill out each other's songs and stuff. And then like, if we give Kevin a bass part that's kind of simple, if we play the song enough, he'll start adding stuff to it.
Yeah,
the world of blue bass lines all Kevin's now.
Yeah, because I write like the most, like my songs, when I write like a demo, it's like a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me like 4 hours usually. And so, and then so like literally the bass line is just the same the whole way through, and then Kevin just fixes it up.
Yeah,
and then on Sandra's songs, I get the whole part.
Sandra writes out every note.
Yeah, but then I have to transpose it because there are like notes that I can't play because they don't exist on my instrument. Like it doesn't.
Oh, because she gives it to you on the synth. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we kind of
like write it as a MIDI or something.
Yeah, we typically like our demos are what me and Hannah like. If you ever go on SoundCloud, which hopefully now you have to scroll down pretty far to get to these, but like all of our demos are like what we showed the rest of the band, and we're like, here's the song. Like, that's, like, the level it's at. So sometimes it's, like, what some people would consider, like, a finished song, but, like, shittily recorded. And so that's, like, you know, normally all the drum parts are there, and, like, sometimes all the bass parts are there. And, you know, but typically we just, like, add stuff on top of that.
We should have talked about Anna O.
Oh, yeah, I thought you wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's...
What would you want to say about it?
Oh, what made me think of what you were saying? Well,
maybe the drum parts. This one's crazy drum parts.
Yeah, yeah. Sandra and I both write the drums. Like, we write all those ourselves.
Mm.
I don't know what I wanted to say about it.
That one, if it's the one I'm thinking of, I kind of noticed there was a lot of, like, building parts. Is that, that's the one with, like, there's, like, a spoken thing at the end. Is that right? Or...
Yeah,
yeah, kind
of. For example.
Is that at the end of that one?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Yeah. Right? You said it just like, why? That one's that at the end of that one. Oh, that one's fun.
Yeah.
So is that like...
That's a quote from Lundy, from the book. That's
okay.
That
was
a quote from... Hey, sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
With a clip from Buffy at the end of the quote.
Yeah, I threw a little... I was like, no,
little Buffy
go well
Easter egg.
I was going to ask, though, about the layering, because... in some ways, like, when I just take a quick listen and just, like, put on your songs, like, there's a sort of, like... some it seems simple, the groove, but then you guys layer in like all these different sounds, all these different synth things. So I'm not sure exactly what I want the question to be, but like, I guess, do you think about like, okay, I'm going to add to this part here, we're going to build here, or is it more organic than that? Like,
I think, I don't know. We just tend to be like into builds.
Yeah, we're very dramatic.
Yeah, it's always like we'd start, you can't see my hand in this, but you start somewhere and then you like go to here. Like, okay. You gotta take
she
it to
She moved her hand
point.
Steadily up for the listener.
As you can
you're like, yeah. What's the point of the song if you're not gonna reach like the peak where you want it to go?
Yeah.
And so,
like, it's kind of like we start out trying to write a chill song and then it turns into not a chill
song.
We're
like, we're a punk band. We just need, like, boom, cha, boom, cha. Yeah. And then, like, it
turns into musical theater.
Because
like,
we want to, like, be like, whoa! Because that's how we feel like we're on a mountaintop in a storm. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's the point. That's part of it.
The drama element is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
The builds.
Yeah.
Are there other ways that the theater influence kind of affected what you're doing now? Or no, just that?
No, that's a totally that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's a totally legit answer.
No, that's probably. I try, like, we kind of insecure about that. We're just like, is this song too music theater-y? Or, like, that's my fear sometimes when I'm, like, too into, like, whatever chords I'm using. I'm like, oh, God, this is...
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, like, it helps. The theater background helps because, like, we both get to do our alter egos that are, like, killing men left and right.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. And, like, I don't know. That kind of makes it seem, like, more fun and, like, a performance rather than, like, a recital or something, you know? Like, I like that crossover.
Being in a coffee shop with your guitar. You don't want that vibe where you're like, I'm just putting my heart out on my sleeve.
And like Hannah loves Lady Gaga. And like, not that I don't, but I just feel like you should get the credit for how much Lady Gaga influenced. But like, our original idea was like to get really theatrical with it. And I think we like, well, we're just kind of lazy and like don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. But like, we want to have like more dances and more.
Yeah.
Like,
more. We used to have this thing where we'd beat up a drum every time during the part where we like quote unquote kill the boyfriend.
But,
and like, it was just cause we were like, oh God, we have nothing to do with our hands during this part. And like, now I play a synth solo. And now Hannah like does screams. And so now we have something to do. So it's not, we didn't add that theater part anymore, but we have like nervous hands, like we're not just gonna stand there but eventually, you know, if we had the budget, costumes, entrances, smoke machines, you know,
the whole bit,
strobe,
shadow puppets.
Well, there was some dancing, I remember, at the show we did at Metro Gallery, so you guys have that going.
Once again, we had nothing to do during that part,
so we just do a little secret handshake spell.
So we'd like it to be more theater influenced in that way,
Visual and
not in like a Les Mis way necessarily.
Yeah, that's something I've personally been more interested in, but it's kind of hard to know where to go with that because you don't want to go like over the top necessarily. You know what? I take that back. You either want to go way over the top or you don't want to do it at all.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love being over the top. I love things that are over the top.
Yeah.
Meat dresses.
Like the bands that we asked to play our Alicia are very over the top.
They all have dance moves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like the fun boys, they're just like over the top.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're intense.
Super City is like over the top. And then like Dream Bush is over the top in their own special way.
Yeah, I like their way as well.
Yeah.
So that's already happened, right? Like, how did that go? Hopefully it went well.
That was like the best show ever.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, I know.
That was really fun.
There were so many people there.
Everyone was like dancing by the end, which is really
fun. Oh, that's perfect.
I feel like everybody was dancing like at the beginning.
At the beginning,
Like,
that was
from the first
sweet.
Band on, which is cool, because that doesn't happen very much.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So that's great. I'm glad that went well. Let's talk a little more about the record specifically. So how long ago did you record it? Like, you released it, what, last month?
Mm-hmm. And we started recording it, like, this is, like, the third or fourth time we've tried to record this album. But this time we set a deadline, And we started, I guess, it was like in October, like early October, because, so we were recording, we all played on, our friend is Albert Bagman, and we all recorded on his album, and kind of as like paying us back sort of thing, he said he would record our album. So we recorded it at his house out in Annapolis. It's like in the middle of nowhere. And he's turned some rooms into booths, and there's some, you know. So we had just done a whole recording project out there, and we were like trying to get other people to record our album, but we realized we were like way too picky about how everything sounds, because we've already recorded it all once.
Yeah.
We made the demo. So we were like, and we just like could not, I don't know. We would just have, whoever recorded it would have had to sit with us and spend like 20 hours on each song. So yeah. We just ended up doing it ourselves and still spending about that much time on each song. But we finished tracking most of it by end of November. And then we got Christy to record a bunch in like December and put her guitar parts in there. And me and Hannah like mixed it all in like 3 weeks. And like, that was rough.
Well, you guys mixed it yourselves.
Yeah,
wow.
We mixed it ourselves. We like borrowed my friend's computer and like mixed it all using Logic. And yeah, we were just sitting there for hours. Doing it, but we didn't trust anyone else to do it because we like knew how it was supposed to sound. And like, we're like, I don't know, half of how I write is just, and I think Hannah's like this too, or like whatever effect is on the vocals is like part of the point of the song, you know, like someone, you can't just throw any reverb on anything. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. We're just really picky about effects.
Sure.
And about like everything. So, so we did it all ourselves. We recorded it all ourselves, with some help. But we were like in control of the whole process because we're freaks.
I think mixing my own stuff would be like really scary, but is it a process you'd do again? Like, did you feel comfortable working that way?
Yeah, I would do it again.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, hopefully next time the songs won't be as old. Like these songs, some of them we've been playing for like 3 years now, so we were like so tired of them and had such a specific way that we wanted them. So like, hopefully we'll be doing this again in like a year and a half or something. It won't be like,
we won't be like married to these fucking songs.
Yeah, exactly. It won't be like the culmination of it. It'll just be like, oh, whatever, this is a song. Yeah. And it'll be our like second album.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
We would do it better, you know, when we get to do it again, we'll be better at it. So,
So like, did you learn a lot doing it that way? Like when you're mixing your own songs, do you hear things in them that maybe you didn't notice, like when you were writing them?
Not necessarily, but
because it sounds like you had a really clear idea of what you wanted. You were saying,
and yeah, like I said, we had recorded most of it before. But we definitely learned things.
Yeah.
I don't know what specifically we would have what we learned. I don't know what it is. Basically, like, we did have to re-record some vocal parts last minute, so it's not good to do that kind of stuff, like, under pressure.
Yeah.
Like, it's good to have a little bit of leeway. Because there was one day where I was, like, losing my mind, and I was like, I have to record the whole beginning. I was just, like, by myself, and I was like, I gotta record this whole beginning again. Geez. And I'm not in the same room I was before.
Oh,
like,
no.
You know? And I was just, like, shaking while I did it, because I was like, we have, like, 40 hours before we have to, like, send this off to mastering. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, we would have a little more leeway.
Wait, remember the flash drive incident?
Oh, my God. We can tell the story. So our entire album was on a flash drive.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were taking it back and forth between these places, and we didn't have enough room anywhere else to keep it on anyone's computer. So it was on a flash drive. And, like, we were going to record the last thing on the album, which was just like Kevin playing like a tiny bit of guitar on this like last part.
Yeah.
And that was it. Oh my God, that was it. And then so we drove all the way to Annapolis. I got there and I realized I didn't have the flash drive and it had been in my pocket. And so I drove all the way back to Baltimore, like an hour, was running around my house, running around outside, couldn't find it anywhere. And then like my roommate was just, and then I,
she told was me, like, you like, you were like, I was scream crying.
Oh yeah, I was listening to Harry Potter on tape, just like scream crying, like all the way to Baltimore. And then like my, because it was our whole album, we finally checked everything. Yeah. And then my roommate, she was just like, she was like, is there any other place you went? And I was like, I went to our practice space like right before to pick up like something. And she was like, go there right now. And it was just like on the sidewalk.
Oh, outside no, the on the sidewalk.
Our whole album. Oh, I've never been so stressed out in my whole life.
Like the Logic projects for our whole album. Right.
And I was like, I deserve this.
It
wasn't just
like everything was recorded. It was like three of the songs were done. You were mixing it.
Yeah, like, we had mixed out like 10 of them.
It was only on those flash drives.
It was like hundreds of
You didn't have it backed up anywhere.
No, and then that's as soon as we got back to Corey's house, he was like, here's my external hard drive, back it up on there. And like now it's like in a million places. But it was just like, I've never been so stressed out in my life. And I was like, there's a lesson to be learned from this. Like, don't ever work this hard on anything.
That's the only lesson. That's the lesson.
Don't ever decide that something is the most important thing in your life and then only work towards that for months and months. Because
never try to do anything ever again. Yeah.
So that's it, kids. Don't try. Yeah. Just don't try.
Don't make music. You might lose the flash drive.
That's insane. And it was just sitting on the sidewalk.
It was raining.
Oh,
it was
raining. God.
It was sitting on the sidewalk in the
getting
rain.
Getting wet.
Yeah. It was a little in the dirt. It was like in between the sidewalk and the dirt. But like anyone, oh my God, just like off Harford Road, like anyone could. But it had only been like 2.5 hours since it had fallen out, so it was still there. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me, where I've like dropped, like my phone has fallen out of my pocket, and the next day there it is, like next to the sewer.
And you're like, good luck with those things; like it still works.
Yeah, I normally
like you. Like you're like, I dropped it in the toilet, but it worked.
Or but like,
the one time you dropped your phone like in the river.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It still worked for like a year.
I was sitting on a bridge over a river and my phone fell. It was like, it worked for like 3 more months. It was a really old phone.
It worked for but like a year.
It fell
longer than it should have worked.
It fell off the bridge into the river, and I like went down into the river and like looked. Was standing over it in the water, and it was on, like in the water. Oh my God. It was like pulled it out. Still worked for a long time. I feel like
the only thing that would be more perfect is if somebody called you and you like see the notification coming up while it's in the water.
And you're like, they call me and like, I get electrocuted and die. Yeah.
No.
That's not how it works.
No. So maybe like you have good luck with that stuff.
I know, but I feel like I used all of it.
Yeah.
I have had good luck, like keys, anything. I'll just be like, if I retrace my steps, it's always just, I found like the thing like on the ground.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely make sure you back up your shit that you're working on for the future.
Oh my God.
That's nuts.
It was such a large file that like you couldn't upload it to the internet.
Yeah.
Because the internet would like cut out at some point. The files were too big to do that with. But luckily our friend had an external hard drive.
I have to pee.
Okay. Yeah. I'm
sorry.
Yeah, we'll take a quick take five. let's see, where were we? So you had the hard drive, you found it, you got all the music together, you guys mixed it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so what have you been working on new music that you're working on for the next project?
We got some things working.
Yeah, we've had like a
couple mini songs that we just need to beef up.
Yeah, we've started like a bunch. We just like, we have trouble saying no to people asking us to play shows. And so then we never have time to like learn new songs. So we're taking like a definite break to learn new songs finally.
This whole summer.
I know like, I have like 5 or 6 on the back burner, but I need to like, I don't know, we need to hang out and like play music for each other and like do that, but we never have time because every time we're hanging out, we're like loading equipment out of the apartment to go play a show.
Yeah.
It's like we haven't even like, you know, set up our stuff in a while. So that's like this summer, hopefully we'll do all that and come up with new things.
And I always have this feeling after I write a song where I'm like, that's it, I'll never be able to write another song. Like, not immediately after, but like a month after I write a song, I'm like, I just don't have it in me anymore. I'm not creative anymore. That always, like,
I lost
like,
it. That's so...
think a lot of artists experience that.
Yeah, totally.
It's and like, that was the last writing. Yeah. Or like, I just, they have, you know, it's like, I think it's depression probably.
Well, there are bands where they like sound cool at the beginning and they suck later. And then I'm always like, I don't want to like, it's not like they suck. It's more like they're trying to do something that's just not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to write anything that feels like inauthentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't have the fire behind it or whatever. So we'll see. But we're going to experiment with some new sounds. Like we did this sound and now like, I don't know. Now I'm like all obsessed with my synthesizer and our lead pedals and stuff. So like
weird beats with just synthesizer.
Yeah.
There's gonna be like some different stuff we're going in.
Yeah.
I could see that be an exciting thing for you guys to do. So
yeah,
we'll stay tuned for that.
Yeah, a little more techno.
Yeah. we're definitely keeping on going. We're excited. Mm-hmm. I think we're really excited to do new songs.
Oh my god, we're so ready for new songs.
Yeah. Which is funny because it'll be like people now have heard those songs and they'll want to hear those songs. We'll be like, no.
Yeah, that's like every band that I like. I go to their shows and they're like, we're not playing those. We're playing the new stuff. And I'm always like, why?
Now I never just play the same album again and again and again.
I'm like, play your album from 2009. That's what I came to hear.
Well, it's so hard because like by the time you put out an album, the songs are already so old. You said that some of these are three years old. It's
so crazy. We played every show. Yeah. For three years, we played these songs. So it's going to be a long break. It'll probably be a break. We're playing like one more show in Baltimore, and then we don't have any more plans. Mm-hmm. And we're going to say no. And it's been hard. And
we're sorry to everybody.
And we're sorry.
You know, we'll get offers, but like.
And we're just like, oh, she sounds so good. You know? Like we could make a friend from Tennessee.
Yeah.
So
that'd be fun. Yeah. It's always like the coolest girls who hit us up. Play shows.
We
get
hit up by the coolest girls.
We do get hit up by the coolest girls. And some not, you know.
Some okay guys.
So that makes me think of something else I wanted to ask you about, like the feminist streak in your music. Is that just a natural outgrowth of your personalities? I know you shared some experiences that inform
you. You were like,
no, I was a self-hating like man apologizer. Still my instinct, but now
I've
changed. Hannah helps me
your
like
AA speech.
Yeah.
Like, tell your old timer, tell your story.
No, like that's a lot of my songs come from like whenever I'm writing, it kind of comes from this place of like, I don't know, because I can see the other side. Like I can see like how it all makes sense and how we're supposed to think about it. And it's just a lot of feels like brainwashing. And now that I'm not brainwashed, I'm just like so pissed. And I still am kind of brainwashed. Like I still think stuff and I'm like, oh my God, I think that. And then I'm like, I think that really deep down, even though like, you know, I don't know. So now it is.
Yeah.
Because of the band, now it is.
Yeah. And I know, like, we struggled, like, when we were first starting to write music with, like, the male ear. Like, us imagining what men were thinking about our music.
God.
Or
now
listening to what
us.
They were actually saying about our music and, like, giving it lots of grains of salt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the wrong use of that phrase.
Yeah.
Giving it lots of attention.
There was no salt. We were like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Let's change it.
Hopefully they'll like it. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll like it.
You're right. That wasn't even that long ago. We've come so far.
Yeah,
that's great.
And now, like,
evolution.
I don't know. I don't want to make people feel bad, but we don't care what they think anymore. Because we used to get it a lot. Like, what is it? Kevin got told that they were like, you know, if you ditch the girls, this would be a pretty cool band.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, how do you even respond to that? Like,
I was like, this isn't even like my project.
It just became
you think
like,
I wrote this.
Yeah. It's like if it was just me, like it wouldn't be this. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and like,
but I get a lot of people talking to me after shows,
mm-hmm.
and it's I just don't know how to respond sometimes. Where it's like
they don't talk
to
me.
They're like,
I scare people.
That's what maybe.
I don't know. But I get a lot of, like, if there's positive things to say, like, sometimes that's directed at me.
Oh, really?
Like,
you know some
like,
stuff?
I really liked it, or, like, talking about how like they like certain parts of like the production especially, and I'm like, I don't do that. Like, you need to talk to Sandra and Hannah.
Yeah, and Kevin doesn't always remember to tell us when people say nice things. I was like, wait, there's
people
so many
don't really talk to me. They just get like a little smile and like a wave or like a thumbs up or something. Some people are like, it was really cool. This is the name of our band.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess like now we are like that a lot. Like we were talking about just today. I was telling Hannah, like, I'm very nice to people on the street. I like to make eye contact with them. I like to say hi. And as of yesterday, my patience is worn out. I'm not going to say hi to men anymore because they can't handle it. They ruin it every time.
Tell her what he said.
Well, I was just like, I just was passing this old man. And I said, hi, how are you? And like, give him a little smile. And he went, hi. And then as he was walking away, he went, sexy. And it was just like,
why did you have to add that?
It was fine. And I was just like,
trying to be a good neighbor.
I'm going to take that away. You know?
Nope, that you lose your privileges.
No more. And that was the last thing I was doing for men, was saying hi. So,
no, yeah,
that's all they had left when you were giving them
anything.
Yeah. That's it.
Your high privileges are revoked. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't even get eye contact from me anymore. I'll run away,
yeah,
like, if you are near.
I cross the street for men.
Mm-hmm.
All time.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that too, actually. I'll just be like, sorry, I'm not going to walk near a man.
What color they are, what age. Maybe if they're under 10, I won't cross the street.
Those are the ones you got to watch out for.
But yeah, I don't discriminate with which men I cross the street.
Which men I cross the street for.
Yeah, all of
them. Mm-hmm.
Especially if they got a shifty.
The shifty ass.
Okay.
Sometimes a man is walking towards you and you know he's going to say something.
You know.
Like, he's got that look, the bemused, like, smile sometimes.
He's too bold.
Yeah.
You can tell he's too bold.
Like, he's trying. Like, he's been looking at you in the eyeballs for, like, a whole block.
It's like, all you
like,
need
just
is
waiting
glance
for you to meet his eyeballs, you know?
Say the weird thing.
Yeah.
And ruin a perfectly fine interaction by adding a sexy that's unwanted.
Sexy.
Man. Well, I guess let's start winding it down. But is there anything else we haven't talked about or anything else that you want to, like, promote that we haven't covered yet? People can find you, Hex Girlfriends, Bandcamp. Right.
Spotify. Listen to our Spotify.
Oh, yeah. Y'all are on Spotify. Okay.
Yeah. Do that. Not that we, like, think streaming is the coolest thing that's ever happened to the music industry, but you should listen to our Spotify.
Yeah. But also, fuck Spotify. Yeah. I'm not going to say it too loud because I might hear
it. And I guess, like, our newest thing coming up, we're playing Baltimore Mixtape Festival.
Oh, cool.
That's our last show in Baltimore for the foreseeable future.
When is that?
It's May 4th and 5th.
Maybe 5th and 6th.
Maybe. It's the weekend.
First weekend. Yeah.
I think this will be up before then, so we'll promote that.
Okay, cool. It's just like outdoors, like Why Not Lot and all that spot, all those spaces around there are doing it, and like other bands that are cool that are playing.
Yeah.
But that's, and like, we're playing a festival this weekend, but this won't be out by then.
No.
Yeah, that's our last show in Baltimore until further notice.
Yeah.
So you better come.
Yep. Because then they head to the workshop. And everything.
Exactly. Yeah, we're looking for a femi guitarist.
Oh yeah, we can't keep Christy in our band. She's too busy with all of her, like, with like being an amazing guitarist. So we're looking for a guitarist that wants to sit. I can't write guitar parts. But I want them.
Yeah.
So, if we could, Hannah won't do it anymore. And she shouldn't, because she needs to be free on the stage. So someone that loves guitar and loves yelling and all this that stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
So
put out the word.
Yeah.
You don't have to be good. You just gotta, like,
you just gotta care.
Just gotta make some sounds.
Yeah, you just gotta be mad.
Yeah.
you don't have to be good.
Buy a distortion pedal and then we don't care what you do after that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I always wrap the show up by asking bands the same question. So I'll ask you guys, like, what was one piece of advice you would have for, like, someone just starting out a band?
Mm. I have to burp again.
Go ahead.
I would say someone just starting out a band is different advice to everyone, but for girls that are starting out a band, I would just say, like, this is just because I know some girls that are too afraid to, like, perform. And just there's so many boys out there playing shitty music that people listen to. And, you know, there's also obviously boys playing good music or whatever. But, like,
but don't. I mean, statistically, it's more shitty than good.
And so yeah. You are, like, girls are judging themselves harsher than anyone, than they would judge some dude that they know. Like, I never thought I'd ever be in a band that, like, played at, the crowd. That was, like, what I thought was the coolest thing in the world 3 years ago, and I never even, like, conceived that I'd be able to do it. And so, like, any girl that wants to do that, like, you super can, and if you want to, you should send me a message. We'll try to make it happen for you. Yeah, yeah. Like, we need more of it.
Yeah, we want all the girl bands to come out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
Show themselves.
Mm-hmm. And if your music's simple, you and your friend do, like,
record weird covers.
Yeah,
get your shit together. Get up on stage. Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what my advice would be. I had something that I was gonna say. I can't remember.
Do you have something, Kevin, while she's thinking?
I mean, like, if you like the music that you're making, chances are somebody else does too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've never met somebody who was the only person who liked something.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I've never heard it put that way. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remembered what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask if your thought came back to you.
Show your music to people you really trust first.
Yeah,
you know, like, if you're just writing stuff and you're not showing anyone. Like, show it to some people that you know will say something nice.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little confidence. So.
Yeah. Or, like, that you know will be gentle with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, nothing's worse than, like, showing it something to someone and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's worse than just don't mm-hmm. listen. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're first, like, starting out, it just feels like a stab in, like, your heart.
Totally.
Yeah.
I basically think you can do it if you can sing karaoke. That's the part of our story we left out, is that we realized we could do this because we went to karaoke night. And we were like, this is the shit.
That's where it all started.
Uh-huh. So just go to karaoke and then imagine doing that to your own, like, weird laptop music. And, like, mm-hmm. then you can do it.
Sure. That's the secret. All right. Well, thanks so much, everybody. And, I really like the album. It's good stuff. And, hopefully I'll see you at the show.
Yay.
So that was Hex Girlfriends. What a lively conversation. What a good conversation. Great songs. Be sure to get their new album. Again, it's called Call Your Mom. You can find it on their Bandcamp. I'm pretty sure it's streaming and everything. Real quick, I want to let you know about the next Santa Labrada show. That's going to be May 24th at Reverb. And as always, if you want to get in touch with me and let me know about some new bands, you can reach me at corridorcast@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to CorridorCast. You should be able to find it in pretty much any podcast app you like. That way you won't miss any episodes. The next one coming up is Flabbercaster. They are a wild magic themed pop punk band. It was a pretty good interview, a lot of fun. So be sure to check that one out in 2 weeks. And I will see you then. Thanks for listening.